1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We just celebrated the founding or the signing of the Declaration of Independence here in this country. And what we have done in conjunction with the Family Research Council's Watchman pastors, we have participated in the call to fall, that call to fall on our knees before God and to cry out on behalf of our nation, to pray that God would forgive us of our sins, our personal sins and also our national sins, and to pray that God would grant us a spirit of repentance and turn us from our wicked ways. And we have in this time called out for us. And by the way, we do this not only this time of the year, but also through whenever appropriate, really to call people to fall on their knees before God. We have a long heritage in America and also in the Bible of calling, falling on our knees before God and asking God to forgive us of our sins. And when we look in the Bible, we see this throughout history and throughout the Bible, we actually see people turning to God in prayer. And we see Moses and Israel crying out to God for deliverance from Pharaoh. We also see when they came into the Canaan land, they cried out to God. We also see in Judges, we see a pattern of obedience, where the children of Israel obeyed God. They were blessed because of their obedience. But in that blessing led to apathy. Apathy then, at some point, led to disobedience. And then, because of the disobedience, God raised up enemies to fight against them or to hold them captive. And so they went into bondage. And at some point, they would, from bondage, kind of like the prodigal son, would realize, hey, I don't need to be here, and would turn from their wicked ways, would cry out to God, and God would heal them. We see that King Saul, even though he did turn his heart away from God, he did also, in the early part of his reign, he did cry out to God for help. King David also was someone that quite often would cry out to God. And you can even see in the Psalms, sometimes he would start out almost and probably was depressed, but he cried out to God. And by the end of the Psalm, he was rejoicing and thanking God. We see also King Solomon. And in that passage that we'll read later on from Chronicles 7, where he actually prayed that God would move and that God would hear their prayer. And when they sinned, that God would hear their prayer and would turn and restore them. We also see various kings of Israel. And one of those that we see this very, very, very clear message is Isaiah and Hezekiah, where they actually cried out to God on behalf of their nation. The prophets also, Daniel, cry out to God in prayer. In fact, Daniel realized he was in captivity and he was reading the prophet Jeremiah, and he realized the sin that Israel had committed. And Daniel, who was a man that you may recall, they couldn't find his enemies, tried to find something that he had done wrong. I mean, they couldn't find anything that he was doing wrong. And they said the only way we're going to be able to catch this guy is if we actually bring a charge because of his religion. Daniel still humbled himself and cried out to God and sought God's face and turned from his wicked ways to serve God. Cried out not only for himself, but also for the sins of his nation. We see also Ezra and Nehemiah doing the same thing, crying out to God for deliverance and also for repentance. In America, we have a huge heritage of our leaders crying out to God. From the Pilgrims, they turned to God when they were in times of need. The Puritans, they cried out to God and asked God if they had an Indian uprising, if they had a crop failure, if there was anything that was happening in their land where something bad was happening, they would search themselves and see if there is any wicked way in them, see if there was a cause for God to move against them. We also see in the founding era, we hear sometimes by the liberals a lot of despair or actually putting down the founders and talking about how they failed, but they actually were people that turned to God. They were people that cried out to God, and they realized that they were sinners, and they asked God to forgive them and to aid America, and God certainly did. Some of those proclamations, just a few of those, in 1775, Samuel Adams, who was the governor of Massachusetts, called for a day of public fasting, humiliation, and prayer. And during the Revolutionary War, General George Washington called for days of public fasting, humiliation, and prayer. He even rode through his camp and spoke to the men and called for them to stop cursing and to pray on behalf of their nation and on behalf of really the effort for freedom. And during the Constitutional Convention in 1787, Benjamin Franklin appealed to God, to the people to turn to God in prayer. In 1807, Connecticut Governor Jonathan Trumbull issued a proclamation of fasting and humiliation. In 1860, President James Buchanan issued a humiliation or proclamation for humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And we're going to read one from 1812 this morning from James Madison. It's a proclamation calling for humiliation and prayer. By the President of the United States, whereas the Congress of the United States, by a joint resolution of the two houses, have signified a request that a day may be recommended to be observed by the people of the United States with religious solemnity as a day of public humiliation and prayer, whereas such a recommendation will enable the several religious denominations and societies so disposed to offer at one and the same time their common vows and adorations to Almighty God, on the solemn occasion produced by the war in which he has been pleased to permit the injustice of a foreign power to involve these United States. I do therefore recommend a convenient day to be set apart for the devout purpose of rendering the sovereign of the universe and the benefactor of mankind the public homage due to his holy attributes of acknowledging the transgressions which might justly provoke the manifestations of his divine displeasure, of seeking his merciful forgiveness and his assistance in the great duties of repentance and amendment, and especially of offering fervent supplications that in the present season of calamity and war, he would take the American people under his peculiar care and protection, that he would guide their public councils, animate their patriotism, and bestow his blessing on their arms, that he would inspire all nations with a love of justice and of concord, and with a reverence for the unerring precept of his holy religion, to do to others as they would require that others should do to them, and finally, that turning the hearts of our enemies from the violence and injustice which sway their counsels against us, he would have a restoration of the blessings of peace. And again, that was President James Madison. The Bible tells us in Psalm 33, verses 12 through 19, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." If we were to put this in modern terms, we might say, an F-16 is not the source of safety for a nation, that a mighty army, that the most well-trained army, the best equipped army is not the hope of safety. You know, if the hope of safety was only if you had enough weapons, if you had skillful soldiers, we would not be sitting here today and celebrating the freedom that we have in this nation. We would still be under, very likely, the British rule. Why? Because it was despite our lack of weapons, despite the lack of training, God gave through his power, through his might, blessed this nation and blessed us with the ability to actually throw off those restraints. And as we talked last week, not only can we celebrate freedom, but also those of African descent who, prior to the time of the revolution, the colonists, several of the colonies had actually passed resolutions abolishing the slave trade, and the King of England had actually forbidden them from doing so, and it annulled those laws. So they had the ability not only not only through to establish freedom for the white race, but also for every race, for those of African descent as well. And so, Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. We see also God telling the children of Israel to actually, when they were coming into the promised land, God telling the children of Israel to have people that would stand on two mountains and would proclaim the curses and the blessings and the curses. The curses if they disobeyed God, if they turned aside to the right hand or to the left hand, the blessings if they obeyed God. We also see in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 27, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods, which you have not known. God also warned the children of Israel to be cautious that they would not become fat and well-fed. You see, there's when a people obeys God, as we spoke about earlier, God blesses them. God blesses obedience. We have a tendency, though, when things are going well, to forget about God. I mean, think about even your own self. When things are going well, when you have enough money, when you have enough food on the table, when you have an abundance, how fervently do you pray to God? But boy, if you're having problems paying the rent or paying your mortgage, or if you don't know where the next meal is going to come from, or where there's if there's uncertainty in the future, that's the time where we turn to God in prayer. And this is a really, when we look at this, this is a shortfall in the human race, that when things are going well, quite often we don't think about God. We don't cry out to Him. We don't realize that the goodness that we have is from Him. There are people today in America that are living in really the greatest nation on the face of the earth right now and are experiencing blessings that have been unknown to mankind except for kings. That's right. Even the poor in this nation, as desperate as their lives are sometimes, are much better off than people in other countries, even the middle class in some other countries. Yet in this blessing, many don't thank God. And we need to thank God. We need to cry out to Him. And we see, because of this pattern, we see this pattern in the book of Judges. You can look in Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Also Judges 4, 3. Chapter 5, verse 28. Chapters 6, verses 6 through 7. Chapter 7, verse 21. Chapter 9, verse 7. Chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. Chapter 15, verse 18. You'll see a pattern of obedience leading to blessing, leading to apathy, leading to the people forgetting their God, violating His commandments, living wickedly. And then you see that disobedience leading to God's judgment, God raising up enemies to fight against His people. And then at some point, from the ashes or from the groaning, you see the people repenting, turning to God in prayer. And then you see restoration, God raising up a deliverer for His people. The people, as they turn to God in prayer, God bringing about blessings upon them. We also see warnings in the book of Leviticus. You see, God brought the children of Israel into the Canaan land and told them that the land was actually vomiting forth the people. And you can read about this in Leviticus chapters 18 and 20. The land was actually vomiting forth the Canaanites. Why? Because of their sins. And he lists several sins. Those sins are largely, many of them are sexual sins. You see incestual relationships. You see adultery. You see homosexuality. You see bestiality. You also see child sacrifice, giving your sons and your daughters up to demons. And these sins that we see in these passages, these are sins that we in America are committing even today. We need to turn back to God. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 9 that we need to mourn and weep for the sins of our nation. In Ezekiel chapter 9, there was a differentiation between those who mourned and wept over the sins of Israel and those who didn't. And so we ask, when was the last time you wept over the sins of America? In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, we see that what has happened really in a lot of Christianity today even, is you see slightly healing the people. They have also healed, this is talking about the pastors, they have also the priests, they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. How many pastors out there are talking about the blessings of God, are talking about how God wants to bless you, how God wants to do good things in your life, how God wants to, I mean, sometimes it's almost like you're listening to a motivational speaker when you go to church. Well, certainly God does want to bless, but God blesses obedience and he curses disobedience. And this happens not only on an individual level, it happens also on a national level as well. When we look at the sins of America, we're going to look at the sins of America. We're going to lay this out and see really where we have sinned, where we have fallen, where we need to turn back to God. When we look at the sins of America, we have in this nation replace the idea that God created the heavens and the earth, and that God created you, and because he created you, your life is valuable. He not only created you, but he created every other person, and that is the reason that your life is valuable. By the way, if we evolved, then you can look at races, and you can say, well, my race is superior to your race because I have evolved more. My race has evolved more than your race. But because God created the heavens and the earth, we can't do that. We've replaced, though, in America, the creation science with evolution. We also have, in 1962, allowed the Supreme Court to remove prayer from public schools. By the way, this public schools were founded so that kids, and the Puritans founded public schools for the purpose of training people to read so that they could read the Bible. The Bible and the New England Primer, which teaches biblical principles, were the first school books that were read in America. In 1963, in Abington versus Shemp, we allowed the Supreme Court to remove the Bible from education of children in public schools. In the 1960s, we saw the sexual revolution. And following that, of course, when you have sex out of wedlock, you're going to have children that are conceived there. And what we see then is through a series of cases, we see actually the Supreme Court creating a right of privacy and then saying, well, this right of privacy means that we can kill that parents can actually have abortions, that they can actually take their sons and their daughters and allow an abortionist to slice their arms and legs off. We also, in 1980, we allowed the Supreme Court to remove the Ten Commandments. By the way, the Supreme Court has the Ten Commandments on its doors. We allowed them to remove the Ten Commandments from our schools. In 2003, we allowed the Supreme Court to expand this right of privacy to include homosexuality. And we have also allowed the Supreme Court to even strike down marriage amendments and say that it's legal for men to marry men or women to marry women. We see transgender nonsense. We see bathroom mandates. We see businesses saying a man can go into a woman's bathroom. These things are insanity. And yet, we haven't turned back from following God. We haven't turned from our wicked ways. And this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to turn from our wicked ways. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we read, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." We have this promise today that if we, God's people, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, that he will hear from heaven. We turn from our wicked ways, also he will hear from heaven, will forgive our sins and heal our land. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.